Underwriting support for the Book Show podcast on WAMC.org comes from Northshire Bookstore, Manchester Center, Vermont, and Saratoga Springs, New York. An independent bookstore offering books, author events, gifts for children and adults, and more. Northshire.com. And from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a new Bachelor of Science degree in Public Health with a focus on social, physical, and behavioral sciences. strose.edu. Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. On this week's program, we present an encore airing of Jo Donahue's interview with Sigrid Nunez about her novel, The Friend, which just won this year's National Book Award for Fiction.
When a woman unexpectedly loses her lifelong best friend and mentor, she finds herself burdened with the unwanted dog he has left behind. Her own battle against grief is intensified by the mute suffering of the dog, a huge Great Dane traumatized by the inexplicable disappearance of its master and by the threat of eviction. Dogs are prohibited in her apartment building. Sigrid Nunez's new novel, The Friend, is a moving story of love, friendship, grief, healing, and the magical bond between a woman and her dog. Sigrid is the author of the novel Salvation City, The Last of Her Kind, and A Feather on the Breath of God. She's been the recipient of several awards, including a Whiting Award, the Rome Prize in Literature, and a Berlin Prize Fellowship. Again, the name of her new novel is The Friend, and it's a pleasure to welcome Sigrid Nunez to The Book Show. Thank you very much for being with us. What a delight to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
What was it in your life, or was there some particular moment in your life that brought you to this point of wanting to write this woman and dog story?
Well, I had discovered a little while ago that I had a number of friends who, although they weren't necessarily making plans to take their own lives, had started, it was something that was on their minds a lot. And that was really the beginning of this book, because I was very concerned about that. And in fact, at a certain point when I was not finished with the book, one of those friends did in fact take his own life. So the first idea of the book was, you know, what it's like to lose somebody close to you through suicide. And the dog entered a little bit later because that's what happens once she loses her mentor and best friend. Somebody has to take care of the dog, and his wife, his widow, is just not able to do that. And she says, "I think he would want you to have the dog." And of course, she lives in a building where you're not allowed to have dogs. So the two of them, and the dog is also grieving, because you can't explain to a dog, you can't explain death to a dog.
Right.
So the two of them start living together and start working out their grief together.
Do you consider yourself a dog person?
Well, that's very interesting, because in fact, I always think of myself as a cat person, and yet I do like both species equally, but I've been a cat person. I have had dogs, but I think of myself as a cat person.
And then the decision to make this dog a Great Dane. This is not just a dog. This is a very large, big, hulking, beautiful dog.
Yeah, and part of the reason for that was, first of all, I liked the idea visually, of a visually striking animal. I wanted a very large animal. And I have, I have had Great Danes in my life in the past.
And they're gentle giants, right?
They are gentle giants, yes. Yes.
So the thing that struck me is that what I loved about the novel is how beautifully you describe the grief that the dog is going through. And I think maybe non-dog people or non-animal people wouldn't necessarily understand. But certainly in reading this, you think, yes, this dog is going through something quite traumatic.
Yeah, and I think it comes from this dog was actually a dog that the mentor had found in a park, abandoned to begin with. So there's no way of knowing what his life was like before that. Then the two of them became deeply bonded, the mentor and the dog. And now he's gone. And so how do you can't you have no way of knowing you have no way of explaining to an animal why their best friend isn't there anymore. And then I was really interested in the kind of anxiety that causes in the animal, particularly a dog, which is a dog that's protective of its master. What would that mean? He's not home. Is he in some kind of trouble? So I was just really trying to imagine, since they're mute and they can't explain anything, what it must be like to have this happen to you if you're a dog. The person who always came home for dinner doesn't one night, and then what is that like for the dog?
And tell me if I'm completely off base here, but there are elements of our personalities as human beings that in times of grief renders us mute as well.
Exactly, exactly. And that's why these two ending up together, that's not the plan when she ends up with the dog, because she doesn't have any experience of this dog. But that's what happens. It really is an exploration of this shared grief by two completely different species and how they help each other.
In that idea of helping each other, did you have an idea at the very beginning of how that was going to play out, of how they were going to work with each other through this problem?
I did, to some extent, because I know enough about the human canine bond, of what it might be like, and you know, and just my own experience of being the, you know, having animals as companions and observing how they behave, I fell back on that.
And then back to the original impetus for writing the novel, which was loss and grief and the loss of life and how we deal with that. And that's very much on your mind in this novel as well.
Yeah, because what made this different is that, you know, when someone dies, it's very different if it's someone who's been ill for a while or someone who dies suddenly. Someone who commits suicide like that, for me, that was the thing that, where I compared it to the dog's, what it would be for the dog. The person vanishes from the face of the earth. What is the explanation for that? I mean, he it's not like he had a long illness, this man. So I felt like the grief was, you know, more comparable to what it would be like for the dog waiting by the door and the master never comes home, and suddenly getting this message that your best friend didn't leave any note, didn't explain anything, but just took his own life.
And that idea of taking your own life, because you are put into a position of wondering about if there was a thought on the behalf of the person committing suicide, of family, of leaving a note, but what about the dog, and does that go into the thought process at all of leaving the world? Meaning, the person who actually takes their life, do they think of the dog?
Oh yeah, that is something that I write about in the book. He doesn't leave a note. My narrator imagines him thinking, what will happen to the dog? And he never, the narrator is completely surprised when his widow says, well, I think you should take the dog, because he would want you to have the dog. Because he's never talked to her about it. And so she thinks, he didn't speak to me explicitly about it, because if he had done that, I would have suspected what he was planning to do. But obliquely, he tells his wife, you know who would be, because his wife never wanted to have this dog in the first place. It's really his dog. So he made clear to her obliquely, if anything ever happened to me, the right person for this, you know, to take the dog would be my friend, who is the narrator of the book.
Right. And ultimately, was right.
It was right. We knew exactly what he was doing. Yes.
Yes. The other thing too that I find so interesting and so, I think, understanding, is that and this goes back against to size, but it is a big dog in a small apartment, as you said, these size differentiations, but a big dog in a small apartment in a place where she's not supposed to have the dog. It's not like it's a mini Yorkie that you can hide.
No, it's a 180-pound Great Dane. Exactly.
And I would think as a novelist, that would be fun to play with.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
The novel is The Friend. It is out from Riverhead. Sigrid Nunez is our guest on this week's book show. When you have that idea, is it something that you want to explore or that you have already explored? In the sense of you've already done a lot of the thinking and then you're ready to write, or you write as a way to work through in understanding what started it in the first place?
Well, I might have some ideas in the beginning, but basically I think most of the thinking and working out and analyzing and exploring really does get done in the process of writing about it, because you're writing about it, you're thinking about it, you're drawing from personal experience and from other places. And that's really when it comes together, when you're actually doing the writing of it.
You very much talk about the life of the writer in the novel, don't you?
Yeah, because both of the main human characters are writers.
Are writers and writing and teachers.
And teachers.
Of creative fiction. So what is it about that? It seems like that would also be very fertile ground for you to explore things and to look at that. While it is not the point, it's certainly of the novel, it is certainly a part of the novel of examining the writer and how they are affected by what is around them.
Yeah, I wanted to... the narrator has a life as a writer and also as a teacher. I was actually more interested in exploring her as a writing teacher. Mm-hmm. But I did I did think that there was a way of creating this kind of quiet and somewhat isolated life of the narrator, where the dog becomes very important, but what is she doing when she's not taking care of the dog? And I just wanted to have enough room to talk about, you know, in the first person, what it's like to be a writer, how things were different when she was a writing student of the mentors many years ago, and now she herself is a mentor with students. So I just wanted to get into that somewhat, the changes, and just what that life is like.
When you think about this novel, is this a novel that comes from, it seems that it comes from a particular time that we have in our lives, which is another way of saying this would not have been a novel that you would have written perhaps 25 years ago.
That's exactly true. The first novel that I ever wrote, A Feather on the Breath of God, is the one of my books that is most like this book. And I feel like, the narrators are very similar. But just as you say, this narrator is that narrator many years later. And so I felt like I was going back to the form of the book. But you're absolutely right. It's not a book that could have been written earlier.
And that is, but there's also the maturity of you as a writer.
Yeah, exactly.
Of the inevitable styling that you get as you grow
exactly.
older and become better at what you do, right?
Right, because of in the first book, I'm mostly looking back at childhood, and the narrator, you know, is certainly not a published writer, maybe an emerging writer. But yeah, this is somebody who has been doing this for a while, who's been teaching for quite a while.
What do you get out of teaching and that responsibility of working with students on their craft and yet still enabling them to have their creativity?
Well, I get a lot out of it because, I mean, I have... had many different kinds of students, so, you know, undergraduates, graduate students, and then also much older people. You know, it's something where, you know, I learn a lot from their work and from trying to help them. And I believe, you know, I mean, people say, well, writing can't be taught. What are you doing, actually? But I have discovered that we all make the same mistakes. The mistakes that very inexperienced writers, some of my students make, are exactly the same mistakes I made at their age. And that, I really believe, is where you can do your best work, remembering that and helping them through that.
How were you helped through that? Were you helped through that in your
Yeah, I was. I studied with Elizabeth Hardwick when I was at Barnard. And and I did an MFA program at Columbia. I had Susan Sontag as a mentor. But the thing is that things have really changed. The kind of workshops that we do now are very different from the kind of writing classes I took. I mean, without meaning any offense to anyone, I would want to do a much better job as a writing teacher than I feel I experienced. I learned from that too. From that too.
That makes sense. When you look at, you have written, of course, nonfiction. You've written fiction. What is there in the nonfiction, and especially even in looking at in the relationship with Susan Sontag, is that completely a different type of writing because you're dealing with the truth, a very
yeah. That's an interesting question, because in many ways, writing that one nonfiction book that I've written, Semper Susan, the memoir, in some ways it was a lot easier than any of the novels, because I didn't have to make anything up. I didn't have to invent anything. The characters were there. The experiences were there. So in that sense, I think it was actually easier. On the other hand, it was still writing. It was still trying to put this into decent sentences. And I find that writing is writing, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. It's hard in the same way.
You're still telling a story.
And you're still telling a story. But as I say, with a memoir, you just have to say what happened.
Yeah. Did it help reaffirm your love of writing fiction?
I don't think it really changed anything. I mean, I think it was a completely different project that I was just very happy to work on, but I didn't think I was going to write more memoir. I wanted to return to fiction, right away.
And the ability that you have in fiction to have more exploration, and it seems, and I've heard you say that you don't always like to be overly autobiographical in your fiction.
Well, most of what I've written is a kind of hybrid genre. I do use and always have used elements from my own life in what I write. And there have been several main characters in my work who are writers. But it's less than it might seem. It's less autobiographical than it might seem. It's my first book that was my truly most autobiographical work. What I really like is to have elements of both. That's what works for me. For the stories that I want to tell, being able to draw on personal experience and invent as much as I want, lie my head off, tell the truth, and lie my head off. Both ways is the way I want it.
Is one more fun? I mean, it seems to me lying your head off would be more fun, but maybe not.
Yes. Lying your head off is more fun. Yeah. Making it up, inventing stories, that is more fun.
The name of the novel is The Friend, and it's published by Riverhead. Sigrid Nunez is the author. I you obviously draw into what you're thinking of when you read a novel, and So I was reading this the week that my dog turned 7.
Oh.
And what you realize is that, and I'm not giving anything away here in the novel, but it is, you realize also of how, I mean, we think of our time on this earth often as a blip, but an average life, and especially for a larger dog, 10, 11, 12 years, not very long.
No, it's not long at all, and I believe the larger the breed, the shorter
the life.
But
yes.
It's true. It's that's the thing about our animal companions. I mean, cats can live longer, but it is true that it is a very short period of time, and you become very devoted. Of course, there are long-lived birds, parrots, and so on.
Of course. But it's a thing that I it struck me of also in just meditating on grief itself, because many of us have an easier time, if you will, or are more open to the idea of grieving for the loss of a pet than we are for the loss or the sudden loss of someone very close to us, a human, whether it be a spouse, a family member, or a dear friend.
Yeah, I think that people understand when they become involved with a dog, they know what the lifespan is. And I think they adjust to that emotionally. You know, but people have different responses because, you know, I have known people who have been, you know, so devastated by the loss of their dog or cat that the grief seems indistinguishable from grieving for another person, even though, of course, there isn't. But yeah, I think people become so attached to their animals that they have to that then when they lose that animal, they really do have to go through a very, very hard time.
The friend in the title is open for interpretation?
The friend is open. I just read somewhere somebody had commented that the friend in this book is and the mentor in their view. But
yeah.
I think there are different friends in this book.
Yes.
It certainly is not one, or, you know, the friend is the narrator. Is the friend the narrator? Is it the mentor? Is it the dog? So I think it is definitely open.
So the old saying that we've heard over and over again of man or a woman's best friend being a dog, but that does come through in this of the bond of that relationship. That's why I asked the question right off the bat about you being a dog person, because you just seem to have so understood what it is like to have that friendship and companionship with the animal.
Yeah, there's really nothing like it. I mean, I love animals in general, all animals.
Yeah.
But the human canine bond is a very, very, very special one, and there isn't any other animal that you have that kind of bond with. You could love your cat, love your horse, and so on, but it is unique that relationship that people have developed with dogs.
When a person gets done reading the novel, what do you hope you leave them with?
Oh, that's such an interesting question. I guess I would want them to have felt that they had a reading experience that illuminated some part of human experience for them, and in this case, it would be an understanding of what it means to lose someone, to love someone and lose someone, and to mourn for someone. You know, just I want the reader to get something from the work that, as I said, that they feel like they've had an important, a significant experience, both intellectually and emotionally. That's what I want. Yeah, so something moved them, something meant something to them. They understood something a little bit better than they had understood it before.
The best kind of novel is one that you shot at the end, and then obviously you think about for days and weeks. Do you remove yourself fairly quickly at the completion of a novel and move on to the next thing, or do you need to?
I do, and I think most writers do. I mean, because we're, you know, writers know that the best thing that you can do when you finish something is start something new, so that you aren't all full of expectations or whatever about the response to the one that you've just written. It's always good to be working on a new book when a book comes out.
Which I assume you're doing
right
now.
Which I am doing, yes.
The name of the new novel is The Friend. It is published by Riverhead. Sigrid Nunez, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
We enjoy hearing from our listeners about our shows. You can email us at book@wamc.org. And you can listen again to this or find past book shows via podcast or at wamc.org. Sarah LeDuc produces our program. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening. For The Book Show, I'm Joe Donahue.